Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's restaurant reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And we're going to start off with Quick Bites. Mohammed Ebzan, who owned Peace Street Market before he sold it in 2007, watched for years as a succession of restaurants opened and closed in the building across the street. It isn't hard to imagine Hessen's hesitancy then when Aqua Said approached him about opening an Afghan restaurant there. But Said, a fellow native Afghanistan who had owned a couple of successful eateries in New York, could cook a mean kebab. Ebzan took the plunge and the partners opened Village Kebab in November. I stopped in for a bite recently at the urging of a foodie friend who doesn't want the restaurant to suffer the same fate as its predecessors. After sampling liberally across the menu, I emphatically agree that it would be a shame. Simply put, the kebabs are the best I've had in these parts. Lamb kebabs are succulent, even when they're cooked to an authentic medium temperature. Shami kebabs feature well-seasoned ground sirloin with a respectable but not overpowering spice kick. And Said's secret marinade makes chicken kebabs so juicy that the cubes of the breast meat swell into an almost spherical shape by the time they're slipped off the skewers and onto the plate. I got all three kebabs as part of the Village Combo No. 1, a $12.99 steal that includes a salad, garlicky yogurt dip, and rustic, weedy Afghan flatbread. At that price, the fact that the yogurt is homemade and the flatbread baked to order in a tandoor behind the counter is especially sweet icing on the cake. The menu also offers a handful of traditional Afghan dishes, such as mantu, ground beef and onion-filled dumplings, and kwabuli paleo, exquisitely tender shreds of slow-cooked lamb buried under a mountain of brown rice, raisins, and carrot ribbons. A vegetarian could easily make a satisfying meal from the side dishes. Village Kebab is a modestly furnished but cheerfully inviting establishment. If the quality of food and the hospitality of the owners can break the jinx on a location with a long-standing bad reputation, then Village Kebab has smashed it to pieces. And this is from Taste This. By and large, the Triangle's diverse collection of restaurants does a good job of satisfying the homesick cravings of people from all over the world. Whether you're an expat Spaniard pining for a paella or a misplaced Michigander jonesing for a coney dog, chances are at least one area eatery stands ready to scratch your itch. But if you moved here from Chicago, you've searched in vain for a good Italian beef sandwich. Unless you live or work in Clayton, that is, where Chicago transplants Bobby Owens and Jay Nasser opened Hungry's about a year and a half ago. Or maybe you've heard about the little sandwich shop through the Windy City grapevine and regularly make the drive from Raleigh or points beyond for your fix. According to Owens, the Chicago-style Italian beef is the eatery's bestseller. For the uninitiated, the Italian beef is something of a cross between a Philly cheesesteak and a French dip sandwich. Like the French dip, it features thinly sliced roast beef and is dipped in juice, unless you're persnickety, in which case you can get the juice on the side. Like the Philly cheesesteak, it's served on a sub roll and offered with a couple of optional topping variations, with hot topped with giardiniera, a spicy mixed vegetable pickle, or sweet, sweet peppers, being Chicago's answer to the classic South Philly with or without cheese. Cheese, either provolone or cheese whiz, depending on your persuasion. At Hungry's, the beef is roasted in-house, classically seasoned with garlic and oregano, and piled generously. The house-made giardiniera, a pungent melange of chopped carrot, celery, black olives, and crushed red peppers, more than lives up to its hot billing. You can add cheese, a mozzarella provolone blend if you like, but most Italian beef purists would consider that gilding the lily. It's all served on a locally baked roll that's substantial enough to hold up to being dipped in juice without falling apart. Even so, there's no way around the fact that it's a juicy mess to eat. Better wear your oldest Cubs t-shirt. Menu focuses on health. Linda Anderson was born in Odessa, Texas, and grew up eating fried chicken, fried okra, fried, well, as she puts it, we went through 5 pounds of Crisco a week. Then, in 1988, Anderson's husband died at the age of 39. She has been on a mission ever since. For the next 20 years, as Anderson made a living selling roof trusses to commercial and residential builders, in her spare time she learned everything she could about healthy eating habits. She changed her lifestyle to reflect what she had learned and shared her knowledge with everyone, anyone who would listen. Now, at an age when most people would be looking forward to retirement, she has taken her mission to the next level. 3 weeks ago, Anderson opened Healthy Track Cafe and Catering in downtown Raleigh, and that's located at 126 South Salisbury Street, and their phone number is 833-5054. Don't let the name fool you. For Anderson, healthy is not about tofu dogs and macrobiotic salads, but about portion control and judicious use of ingredients to make light versions of favorite American dishes. She substitutes low-fat cottage cheese for ricotta in her spinach manicotti, for instance, and uses 90% lean ground beef in her meatloaf. Vegetable sides, from green beans to confetti corn to mashed sweet potatoes, are made with fresh produce and an eye to keeping with the fat grams to a minimum. There's also a selection of sandwiches with options ranging from chicken salad, made with just a little bit of light mayo in the dressing, to turkey wrap to Texas-style shredded beef barbecue, made with lean beef, naturally. The one menu item that at first may seem out of place is Lancaster's pork barbecue sandwich. Weighing in at 22 grams of fat, the sandwich is the contribution of Anderson's friend and unlikely partner, Jim Lancaster. Anderson proudly notes that Lancaster, whose company sells Eastern-style pork barbecue through about 5,000 retail outlets, lost 30 pounds following her dietary guidelines. Healthy Track is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and offers a sandwiches-only menu on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There is a small dining area, but Anderson expects much of her business to be takeout lunches and heat-and-eat dinners in microwavable containers. She even offers free delivery to much of the Raleigh-Garner area. Now that's what I call a person committed to a mission. And again, Healthy Track Cafe and Catering is at 126 South Salisbury Street in Raleigh, and their phone number is 833-5054. And this is from Quick Bites. Robert and Fida Ganham know the value of a solid reputation in the restaurant business. They laid the foundation for theirs with the opening of the first Saladilia Cafe in 1988 and have since built a mini empire of four locations with a fifth on the drawing board. Needless to say, then, when the couple bought Mad Hatter Bake Shop and Cafe in 2008, they were aware that they were acquiring an establishment whose reputation is nearly as long-standing as their own. The Hatter, as the restaurant has come to be known, has a popular pastry shop and lunchtime gathering place since 1992. They knew better than to mess with that winning formula, but they did quietly begin changing the menu in subtle ways to reflect their passion for healthful fare and fresh, locally produced ingredients. A handful of additions to the menu, grilled North Carolina fish tacos, for instance, and house-roasted beet salad with caramelized shallots and mustard seeds, are readily apparent. Other changes are evident only when you taste them. Pastries, from humble oatmeal cookie to fancy pear frangipane, are now made with butter and locally milled organic flour. The pork in the grilled Cuban sandwich is slow-roasted in-house, and that sushi-grade tuna in the peppercorn-crusted tuna salad. Pretty much everything is made in-house, for that matter, and if it isn't, odds are it's made from a top-notch local artisan. One of my favorite brunch offerings features scrambled eggs from Lotta Egg Ranch in Hillsboro, Chapel Hill Creamery cheese, caramelized shallots, and fresh basil on a toasted croissant baked by Gugloff. The emphasis on scratch preparation, along with the popularity that comes with a solid reputation, means that the wait for your food can be 20 minutes or more after you place your order at the counter. If the place is busy, I like to order a pastry from the display case and enjoy it while I wait for my meal to arrive. If there ever was a time to act on that eat dessert first maxim, this is it. Chef goes west for new adventure. Raleigh native Jason Smith has built a solid reputation for contemporary American fare with a local focus at 18 Seaboard, his popular restaurant in Seaboard Station. His second venture, which opened March 20th in Cameron Village, borrows the 18 from the original restaurant's name, but Cantina 18 takes off in a new direction, and Cantina 18 is located at 433 Daniel Street, and that phone number is 835-9911. Smith calls the menu inspired Southwestern, with offerings ranging from cilantro-marinated peel-and-eat shrimp to beef short rib nachos to press sandwiches such as the Southwestern barbecue, featuring chili-rubbed slow-roasted pork. Signature tacos include adobe braised chicken, mahi-mahi with a tomatillo chili salsa, and duck confit with pineapple, asiago, and pumpkin seed pesto. The dining room's exposed brick walls, rustic stained woodwork, and green trim are as casually colorful as the menu. The bar offers 12 draft beers, including one of the area's first Negro Medulla taps. New name at Lucky 32's. In Cary, Lucky 32 is now Lucky 32's Southern Kitchen, signifying that the restaurant has dropped its seasonally globe-trotting menu in favor of staying closer to home. Menu highlights include Carolina catfish nuggets, Charleston she-crab soup, and Owensboro Kentucky barbecued lamb. Legacy dishes such as black bean cakes and chicken tomato basil soup are still on the menu. And that location of Lucky 32's Southern Kitchen in Cary is 7307 Tryon Road, and their phone number is 233-1632. It's now time to read some of the actual restaurant reviews. Just as a reminder before we get started, 5 stars means extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant we're going to read is for San Su, and that is located at 4325 Highway 55, which is also known as Apex Highway. That location is in Durham. Their phone number is 361-8078, and they received 3.5 stars. "Try them first without any wasabi or soy sauce," our waiter said as he delivered the sushi rolls we'd ordered at San Su. The suggestion wasn't necessary in our case, but it was the first time I'd ever heard it from our waiter, and it was gratifying to hear. In my opinion, and a lot of people with considerably more sushi expertise than I have would back me up, dipping your sushi into a slurry of wasabi and soy without tasting it first is the Japanese equivalent of reaching for the salt shaker before tasting your food. Sure enough, even a whisper of extraneous wasabi would have destroyed the delicate balance of white tuna, citrus mayo, and sweet miso cream sauce in the Snow White roll. Nor would it have contributed anything to the justifiably popular Jacksonville roll, which showcases crawfish tails and white tuna seared to a delicately smoky turn. And in the case of the Stone Roll's elaborately medley of eel, shrimp tempura, avocado, and salmon, liberally drizzled with a sweet red chili sauce, a wasabi soy dip would be the case of gilding an already baroque lily. Sushi bargain hunters will note that we ordered 3 rolls, not even the number required to take advantage of the buy one get one offers at many sushi bars. That's because at San Su, all rolls are half off all the time. By no means, however, does the artificially reduced price mean a sacrifice in quality. Owner Tommy Nguyen gets daily deliveries of fresh fish, much of it from Hawaiian waters. Occasionally, he has even been able to score such local rarities as Bahamian conch. Nguyen's 6 years of experience as a sushi chef are evident in skillful knife work, attention to details, such as a house-cured mackerel, and presentations that are thoughtfully conceived without being overwrought. His signature ocean pyramid, a tobiko-capped tower of yellowtail, tuna, salmon, avocado, and rice, surrounded by a shallow moat of citrus soy vinaigrette, is a multisensory delight. So is the chef's elegant take on Hawaii ahi poke, which he frequently offers as a special. Thin, ruby slices of tuna, strung out like a necklace across a narrow, rectangular platter, and spangled with chopped scallion, wasabi-dyed tobiko, and a glistening drizzle of ponzu. The kitchen turns in a solid performance, too. You'll find all the usual hibachi, teriyaki, tempura, and noodle dish suspects, as well as a few pleasant surprises. One of these is kushiyaki, which features skewers of grilled shrimp, chicken, or beef, lightly glazed with teriyaki sauce. If you like teriyaki but find the dish too cloying with a surfeit of sauce, this is just what the doctor ordered. Hamichi Kama, the broiled yellowtail cheek that you have to know to ask for in many Japanese restaurants, is proudly listed on the menu here, and with good reason. Making allowances for the few scales that escape the chef's knife, the Hamachi Kama I had at San Su is as good as any I've had in these parts. Broiled mackerel is a keeper, too, if you like strong-flavored fish. Tempura is sold a la carte, allowing you to choose among 14 options, from calamari to zucchini. You can assemble the familiar shrimp and vegetable tempura combination found at other restaurants for about the same price. Or you can mix and match your way to a more creative combo that includes, say, scallops, eel, and shiitake. Regardless of your selection, you'll find the batter light and delicately crisp. Lapses in the kitchen and behind the sushi bar are uncommon. In the course of my sampling, I encountered only one from each, an appetizer of panko fried oysters that were overcooked, and a slightly fishy-tasting piece of tuna sashimi. Again, I'm allowing a mulligan for the scales on the otherwise stellar hamachi kami. Service is efficient and enthusiastic, by and large, though things can lag a bit when the place gets busy. The dining room is pleasant enough, if a bit exuberant in comparison to most Japanese restaurants, owing in large measure to an ornate 5-foot-tall gold sculpture topped with a spinning gold ball that's evocative of a disco ball. Inherited from the short-lived Asian restaurant that preceded Sansu in the space, the sculpture seems out of place against a backdrop of geisha prints and shoji screens. If you find it distracting at first, rest assured the food will soon put you at ease. And again, Sansu received 3.5 stars, located at 4325 Highway 55, also known as Apex Highway, and that's in Durham, phone number 361-8078. The next restaurant review we're going to read is Bloomsbury Bistro. They received 4.5 stars, and they're located in Raleigh at 509 West Whitaker Mill Road, and their phone number is 834-9011. On a recent menu at Bloomsbury Bistro, one of the entire options was gourmets prepared to gasp in horror, tilapia. A freshwater fish known for its low cost, mild flavor, and frequent appearance on the menus of ethnic restaurants, tilapia is hardly fashionable and certainly not what you'd expect to see on the menu of a fine dining establishment. As it happens, though, tilapia was one of the options on a 3-course dinner for two that owner chef John Toller sometimes offers for a bargain, $50. More to the point, Toller's tilapia presentation, a cashew-crusted filet served over basmati rice and an Indian-inspired curry of sweet bay scallops, sugar snaps, and navel orange segments, was more impressive than some trendier and pricier fish offerings I've had elsewhere. Food fashions come and go, and it didn't hurt to be reminded that lobster was once considered a poor man's food. Other recent entree options on the bargain menu, and there are usually 5, have included pork osso buco with an Austrian-style bacon dumplings, a ragout of Angus beef and exotic mushrooms over a sauté of Italian parsley spacel and savory cabbage, and a variation on the Oscar theme featuring asparagus and jumbo lump blue crab atop a succulent skillet roasted half chicken. These come, mind you, after your appetite has been whetted by starters such as creamy crab and sweet corn bisque, garnished with Old Bay croutons and a splash of Olorso sherry, crisp-skinned frog legs over a puree of artichokes bejeweled with green syringola olives, and an unconscious gratin of baby spinach and Brussels sprouts topped with a ragout of wild mushrooms and duck confit. Paired with a selection from the bistro's thoughtfully chosen and aggressively priced wine list, and topped off by your generous dessert sampler, this is hardly a meal that will leave you feeling deprived. Toller introduced the prefix meal in response to the recession, but the chef earned a reputation for delivering lots of bang for the buck long before the hard times hit. Entree prices on the regular menu typically hover in the $20 to $25 range and seldom stray above $30. Not bad for a restaurant that consistently delivers excellent food and polished service in a comfortable setting. If you're not persuaded by the tilapia, you might opt instead for the grilled North Carolina yellowfin tuna over a pancetta-punctuated medley of spaghetti squash, haricot verts, and cabernet rouge. Still not lavish enough? The 9-ounce filet is expertly cooked, as you'll find in a good steakhouse, and comes with garlicky sautéed broccoli, whipped potatoes, and a creamy green peppercorn cognac sauce. Feeling adventurous? Set sail for the macadamia-encrusted Hawaiian-style lobster risotto cake with a soy and passion fruit vinaigrette. Then let Toller whisk you away to the Mediterranean for Cretan stifado, the chef's deconstructed take on a classic Greek stew featuring slow-cooked rabbit and fennel sausage over orzo and wilted baby spinach. Vegetarian? The pistachio-spangled organic field green salad is fine for starters, but if you're craving something more substantial, get the Italian fontina cheese fried in polenta, served over baby arugula, and drizzled with the 25-year-old balsamic vinegar. Just ask the waiter to hold the crispy prosciutto garnish. Better yet, give it to your meat-eating dining companion. It will distract him from the drunken goat cheese-stuffed silver dollar mushrooms that you've got your eye on for your entree. Kitchen miscues are infrequent and usually minor, a fact that will come as no surprise to the many loyal fans Toller has earned over the years. Bloomsbury Bistro celebrates its 15th anniversary this month and continues to thrive in its inconspicuous spot on the edge of Hayes Barton neighborhood, while flashier restaurants come and go in trendier locations. The dining room and bar have had a couple of makeovers and expansions over the years, though the space still retains a certain cozy charm. And if Toller's globally inspired menu doesn't seem as cutting edge as it did when he opened the restaurant, it still holds a surprise or two when he changes it every 6 weeks or so. And like the reliable friend that Bloomsbury Bistro has come to be over the years, it rarely disappoints. Again, Bloomsbury Bistro received 4.5 stars, and they're located at 509 West Whitaker Mill Road in Raleigh, phone number 834-9011. Another restaurant review we're going to read is for Sauce-a-Sti, and that is also located in Raleigh at 6204-120 Glenwood Avenue, phone number 781-7599. The original Sauce-a-Sti opened in 1999 in a low-slung commercial building behind an Asian market on Capitol Boulevard. It was an unassuming family-run eatery, serving a limited-time menu on styrofoam plates in a tiny space with only 5 tables. The food was very good, though, and the restaurant thrived. The menu expanded over the next few years, and the dining room got a makeover. In 2004, the owner sold the restaurant to Deanne, and I'm going to have to spell her last name. It's Sriphetcharawut, and her brother, Jeff. An accomplished cook, Deanne gradually began imprinting the menu with flavors of Bangkok and central Thailand, where she grew up and attended college. Presentations are typically more refined, and sauces a bit sweeter in this region than in the outlying areas represented by many Thai restaurants, including the original restaurant. But the new chef's tweaks were subtle enough that the customer base remained solid. If changes up to this point were baby steps, the next would be a giant one. Last November, the partners opened a second restaurant that, on the surface at least, bears little resemblance to the first. The new Sauce-a-Sti is vastly larger than the original, for one thing, and offers 2 private banquet rooms in addition to the expansive main dining room. Batik tapestries, Thai wood carvings, and carpeting in rich shades of rust, blue, and green give a warmly inviting feel to a space that would otherwise feel cavernous. In the center of the room, the bar, itself roughly the size of the dining room of the original restaurant, dispenses exotic cocktails and a selection of draft and bottled beers and wines that's a cut above the ethnic restaurant norm. With some 75 listings, including an impressive 14 vegetarian entrees, the new menu is among the area's most extensive. It's certainly the most ambitious in terms of variety, and to my knowledge, the only one to offer a seasonally changing selection of chef specials. Current specials, available until late April, cover a varied spectrum from peanut penang lamb chops to chu chi gung, which features jumbo shrimp in a rich coconut curry that's named for the sound the sauce makes as it boils and thickens. Tamarind tilapia, another special, serves up a whole fish, filleted and cut into bite-sized pieces that are deep-fried and returned to the frame, which is also deep-fried. Topped with a colorful confetti of julienne carrots, red onion, ginger, and toasted peanuts in a lemongrass-flecked tamarind sauce, the dish is a multi-sensory extravaganza. The distinctive features of Central Thai cooking are more evident in some dishes than others, as a sampling of the regular menu reveals. Curries, noodle dishes, and other familiar specialties are similar in character to what you find at other Thai restaurants, though here the execution is generally superior and presentations more attractive than most. In a few instances, the flavor of a dish may come off as restrained in comparison to the more rustic versions of other regions, but they're no less satisfying in classics such as green papaya salad and yum nyu grilled beef salad, and whose dressings, the heat of the Thai chilies, and the saline pungency of the fish sauce are balanced by sugar and lime. Bangkok's urbane influence is evident in the presentation of Hor Mak Talai, a mixed seafood curry casserole traditionally steamed in a banana leaf. Here it's cooked in foil, which is peeled back to resemble lotus petals for serving. As in Bad Prick Krap Hoi, a traditional stir-fry familiarly known as spicy basil, the basil is amply represented, but the spicy takes a back to sweet in the sauce. Don't be fooled by the refined presentations, however, into thinking that you'll be shortchanged on flavor. The kitchen doesn't skimp on lemongrass, kaffir lime, and galangal when it's called for, and the spice level of most dishes can be adjusted to your preference. A word to the wise, if you order a dish, make me cry hot, you better mean it. The original restaurant has reaped the windfall of an expanded menu that's essentially the same at both restaurants, though this review is based on visits to the Glenwood Avenue location. I can say that I've consistently experienced efficient, warmly hospitable service at both restaurants. Then again, what else would you expect from a restaurant whose name, Sawati, is a friendly greeting, roughly translated as hi? And I apologize for mispronouncing the name of the restaurant. It is Sawati. Again, that received 3.5 stars, located at 6204-120 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh. Phone number 781-7599. And I've got time to read one more quick mini review. The adventure begins in Chapel Hill, where Filipino-style rotisserie roasted chickens turn over live coals in the storefront window of Inaha, and that's located at 169 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Phone number 929-2395. Owner Hernan Escudo, a native of the Philippines, won't reveal details about the marinade that gives the chickens their deep bronze color and tropically spiced savor, but he promises that they're juicy all the way to the bone. A recent sampling in the form of the Inaha Special, a quarter chicken with fried rice and choice of side, I heartily recommend the pickled papaya for $6.39, bears him out. The menu is limited for now, with other options including Manila Bay Barbecue, a couple of homemade soups, chicken and sinigang bad boy, featuring pork riblets, tomatoes and peppers in a tangy tamarind-accented broth, and subs for more domestic tastes. In the near future, Escudo plans to expand the offering to include dishes from Thailand, Korea, Spain, and Mexico. A modestly furnished but cheery counter service eatery, Inaha is open from 10:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day but Sunday. And again, Inaha is located at 169 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Phone number 929-2395. And we've run out of time for today's episode of the Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen again. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.